Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, proud of its ties to Alaska communities since 1977. More at alyeskapipeline.com.
The summer fun is heating up in the Matanuska Sisseton Borough, where parks and trails spread across the region the size of West Virginia offer plenty of space for recreation. So what's exciting in Matsu this year? What should you know before you head out, and what new trails and recreation spots should you try? I'm your host, Amy Bouchotz, and on this episode of Outdoor Explorer, we'll dive into the summer ahead on parks and trails in Matsu as we catch up with leaders at the Matsu Trails and Parks Foundation, recreation officials at the Matanuska Sisseton Borough, and a manager up at Ski Talk, an area usually known for its winter skiing, but also home to some fun and growing summer options. That's just ahead on Outdoor Explorer. Welcome to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Amy Bouchotz. Today, we're talking to a trio of recreation and trails experts in Matsu about what's new around the region. And to get us started, let's check in with Taylor Raftery, who leads the Matsu Trails and Parks Foundation. Taylor, welcome to Outdoor Explorer. Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So I'd love to hear from you a little bit about the Matsu Trails and Parks Foundation, the mission, and then what you do there. Why don't you start us off with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I am executive director of the Matsu Trails and Parks Foundation. I've been in this position for just over 3 years and have been working with the foundation for six. The foundation is a small nonprofit based in Palmer, Alaska, but we serve the entire Matsu borough area. Our mission is to be the trails and parks resource for a healthy community in the Matsu. And there are three primary ways that we're working to accomplish that. So the first and kind of the biggest impact is with our grant program. So every year we grant out about $350,000 to $400,000 to local nonprofits, organizations, community groups, land managers to support trails, parks, and outdoor recreation in the Matsu borough. In 2025, it was our largest grant year ever, and we were able to give out over $700,000 to 14 Wow. different local organizations. And these spanned kind of the entire Matsu region, from helping with signage, snow groomers, planning efforts for both trails and parks, improvements. And yeah, definitely had a very big impact on the community. And like I said, we work from really small volunteer-run organizations on maybe like a $10,000 signage project to larger projects. Let's say with the Matsu Borough, we helped fund a little bit of their recreation area design for Jonesville and kind of everything in between. So from start to finish, and maintenance, we're looking at funding different projects. The second big thing that we do is we'll work with primarily land managers to manage larger grants and larger projects. So last summer, we wrapped up on the Independence Mine State Historic Park rehabilitation. So this was an effort that was funded by the Leona Helmsley Charitable Foundation, as well as some state-managed grant funds through the National Park Historic Preservation Office.
That one did the preservation of the historic area, like fixing the buildings and that kind of thing, right?
Yes, correct. So this is kind of phase one of probably many years, many phases, lots of fundraising. But the primary focus for this project was the manager's house, bunkhouse one, bunkhouse two, and the mess hall. And so if you've been up there recently, the buildings, there's some outdoor work on the siding and preservation and painting. There's also some foundation work. And then another big aspect of the project was security, because unfortunately vandalism is a problem up there. And so we added security doors and storm windows to help protect both the inside of the buildings as well as the exteriors. And then another big project we wrapped up 2 years ago was the Curry Connector project, which added just over 16 miles of new trails, going from the Curry Ridge Lookout area to Tarn Point Fires Lake. And that is when I was able to go out last summer. Absolutely amazing trail, really cool way to either spend a day, a couple days. You could do like a 50-mile traverse if you wanted out there.
Essentially, it connects the Kasugi, what we know as the Kasugi Ridge Trail, with the Curry, Top of Curry Trail. Yeah?
Yep, correct. And then the third part of our work, since we are investing a lot of time and money into creating these outdoor opportunities for the community and visitors, is sharing resources on how to get out there. And so a big thing that we've been developing over the last couple of years is community events. Most of those are done in partnership with Rebel Treks. Just 2 weekends ago, we had the Winter Discovery Day out at Government Peak Recreation Area. We had 20 different organizations, businesses. We had state parks in the Matsu Borough there as well. And there were gear demos, hot cocoa, lots of information on how to get outside. And between our e-newsletters, different brochures we're putting out in these community events, the goal is really to figure out how we can get everyone outside, creating healthy spaces, healthy activities, and exploring the valley, because we live in a pretty magical place.
Yeah, really, it sounds like really making so much of the valley just as accessible as possible while still preserving the things that we like about it, you know, like the fact that it's remote and the fact that it feels wild, right? Like you want to sort of have that balance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you prioritize the projects that you support? Because as you mentioned, you have like this pretty big breadth of projects, everything from money going to our local government, from to just that sign project you talk about. So like, how do you figure out what you want to support?
Yeah, absolutely. So for our grant program, the biggest thing we need is organizations and people who are passionate, have a vision, have a project, and apply for funding. So without that, there's no projects for us to fund. So I think that's the most vital thing. And then once we receive applications, right now we have two grant rounds per year. We have a grants committee who makes recommendations to our full board. And so we have a full review process of the different projects. They're looking at things like accessibility, connectivity, creating opportunities. What is the impact of this funding in the project? How many people are able to access it? Is this project located in an area where there might not be as much green space or recreational opportunities? So it can be a challenge. We have been getting more competitive grant cycles. And so our grants committee really has to spend the time to look at these projects individually, as well as the group as a whole, and figure out what has the most impact for the funding that we have available and what is going to do the most good for our community.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz, and I'm just chatting with Taylor Raftery of the Matsu Trails and Parks Foundation. And we're talking about the foundation and upcoming projects for the summer season. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what projects you do have coming up for this coming summer? That's the summer of 2026. You know, people are probably going to hear this in May. Of course, you and I are talking in March when it's still the winter. It's the winter right now. And so we can envision May in our hearts, but May is in the future. But, you know, project season will come up faster than you think it will. So what are you guys looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. For the foundation, our big focus is right now looking at community events. So we're not managing any large projects at this time. One thing that's new for this year is we have a summer resource fair that is focused on safety. And so that'll be May 2nd at the Palmer Train Depot. And this will be a little bit different than some of our resource fairs in the past, but we'll actually have live presentations and demos scheduled throughout the event. So you can come visit folks at their tables, get information. But then there's also going to be presenters there giving more information, again, so that people can get outside, explore the summer, enjoy the space that we have available to us. And we know that a big barrier to folks getting outside really year round in Alaska is there is a definite intimidation factor where they feel like they might not know enough. They might not have the tools, the supplies, the gear. And so we're really trying to reduce that barrier and make folks more comfortable. So that'll be a great event. And then we are also planning for a trail conference this fall. There'll be more information coming out about both of these events, but really focusing on public spaces, outdoor recreation, trails, parks in the MATSU, just because Alaska Trails puts on a great statewide trail conference, but we don't really have a gathering for that out here. And so this will be the first time we're hosting this event, and hopefully it'll be a great resource and continue to grow. And then for our partners and grantees, we've got some really exciting projects coming out. One thing that the board has, the MATSU Trails and Parks Foundation Board has identified as a funding priority is signage, both educational, directional, creating a standardized sign plan for the MATSU Borough. But we've had some great projects come through that we were able to fund. And so one of those is the MATSU Borough, Alaska State Parks, and the Experiment Farm were able to get together and come up with a plan to redo the signage and mapping for the Greenbelt area to hopefully make it a little more user-friendly. Get better directional signs to parking areas and to the different recreation areas in that zone. And for folks that don't know, the Matanuska Greenbelt is kind of a gem for the core area of the MATSU, but it's made up of Crevasse Moraine, which is managed by the MATSU Borough, Matanuska Lake State Park, and then there's the Matanuska Experiment Farm has some public access areas, and then the MATSU College. And so it's this big continuous green space with just miles and miles of trail. And so we're very excited to make that more accessible and have better trailhead amenities in that space.
And boy, is it easy to get lost out there. I mean,
oh yeah.
Yeah, the borough officials make fun of me because I talk about this so often, but I am like the queen of getting lost. I spend a lot of time out there and you know, over time it obviously accumulates, but to the point that I will think, "Oh, I have for the first time ever successfully gone out and back the same way." Mm-hmm. And then I will get to my car or I'll get to some point in that journey back and look around and be like, this is not familiar. I've taken a wrong turn again because there's just so many little forks in the road. The signs are unclear. And if you're over on the experimental farm side, the signs indicate trails that are no longer in use. And so you could you could think you're one place, but you are not in that place. It's not just me being bad at directions, y'all. This is a real problem for a lot of people I've heard, and so, but also for me. So,
oh yeah,
yeah.
There's been a number of times where I was planning for like a 3 to 6 mile walk or run, and it turned into like a 12 to 14 mile. Got to fully explore all the different lands out there.
Yeah, which is like an entirely different, I mean, when you're out on a run, that is a much different distance. There's a whole different snacking contingency plan that happens for that.
Exactly.
But you got to get back to where you started. That's the pickle, right? Mm-hmm. So I always say if there's like a trail cam at some of those intersections, what it would show is like me running in one direction and then about 30 seconds later, like coming back in the other direction and just like looking around and heading off in an entirely different direction. Yeah, it's a real thing. So I am personally excited about signage. We'll see if it even helps me. That's to be determined.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe you could be a tester once the Massey Borough is able to install the new signs. But yeah, that'll be a great one. And then we're continuing to work with state parks on Independence Mine fundraising. If you're interested in the project, we have it right on the homepage of our website, which is www.matsutrails.org. But like I said, this is a huge project, will probably occur in multiple phases, lots of fundraising. But we're working with them probably into the far future to try to accomplish some of the projects that they're trying to get done. I know they're looking at replacing some of the pedestrian bridges and improving walkways that are up there. It's a big priority for them just because they do get a lot of locals as well as in-state and out-of-state visitors that explore that area. And for the most part, it is very accessible. And yeah, hopefully we'll see some improvements over time up there. Another couple projects. We work closely with Alaska Trails on a number of different projects. But one thing for state parks in the Mat-Su Borough is they have just had limited capacity staffing and funding wise to keep up with the maintenance as well as make improvements to accommodate the incredible growth and use that we're seeing out here. When I first moved out to the valley, I think 11 or so years ago, Reed Lakes was one of my favorite trails. And I do not think I've been on that trail in at least 3 or 4 years, because you can go up there on a rainy Tuesday morning, and you might not be able to find a parking space. So we're seeing a lot, especially with state parks, these trails are kind of being loved to death, and there's not enough amenities and not enough funding going towards trail maintenance and park maintenance to be able to support both the Mat-Su use as well as in-state and out-of-state visitors that are coming up there. And so Alaska Trails has been a really great partner for both us and state parks, where they have been sending out trail crews to Hatcher Pass, Nancy Lakes, Denali State Park, and being able to help kind of tick away at some of the much needed maintenance and trail improvements that are needed. And so this summer, they're going to be out at Denali State Park. One thing with that park area is the beetle kill tree fall on the trails is just a never-ending problem for state parks right now. And so they'll be out there kind of expanding the trail corridor, clearing trails that have fallen over, or clearing trees that have fallen over trails. And they'll also be doing some work up at Nancy Lakes. State recreation area.
What do you envision for the future of parks and trails in Mat-Su? You just touched on this challenge that we have in Hatcher Pass of being loved to death. And that not getting to that point takes careful management. But as we grow, we also have people who really want to experience our local trails as residents. And then also we have visitors who we want to share those things with, but it's a balance. So I'm just wondering, like, how do you see that balance and that future?
Yeah, I think it's a balance, like you said, of investing in close to home recreation opportunities. So our residents of the Mat-Su Borough, it's great to have these big backcountry trails, but we also need accessible parks and paved walkways, lit trails in the winter, so that they're able to get outside and make that a part of their daily life. And then we also need to continue developing and improving the existing backcountry trails that are out there, because that's a big call for a big reason why the locals live here, is that we have amazing opportunities just 5 to 20 minute drive away, where you can get up in the mountains and potentially not see anybody. And for both of those, it requires planning. So making sure that recreation areas and trails are not cut off or restricted due to development. It includes making sure that trailhead amenities like signage, trash cans, even bathrooms. We do fund CXTs, the pit toilets. It's not the most exciting grant to give out, but it is absolutely necessary. We actually just funded replacement. I think they're going to be putting up a composting toilet up in Archangel Road to replace the outhouse that's up there. I am still baffled on how any septic company is willing to go up Archangel Road to pump something like that. But yeah, it really is a balance of creating those amenities, making sure that there's parking spaces. And then new trails are very exciting, and we have population in use to support them, but we also need to make sure that we are maintaining and caring for the existing ones. So that comes up a lot in our grants committee. Again, it's very exciting to fund a new trail, but when there are other areas that are in poor condition or degrading, then how do we balance out the funding and the needs for the entire Matsuburo region?
Yeah, those are significant challenges, and I'm so happy that you're tackling them. Thank you so much for joining us on Outdoor Explorer today and talking about this issue with us.
Yeah, thank you so much, and I hope we see you all on the trails.
Taylor Raftery's work at the Matsu Trails and Parks Foundation meshes with the oversight and boots-on-the-ground maintenance from the Matanuska Susitna Borough. Let's check in with Matsu Borough Outdoor Recreation Manager Hugh Leslie and Alan McLean, who works for the borough as a trail specialist. Hugh and Alan, welcome to Outdoor Explorer. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So I am excited to talk to you guys about what's up with parks and trails in Matsu specifically, because you are both with the Matsu Borough and have been there for quite a while overseeing some of these topics. Alan, I know you're boots on the ground, and Hugh, you're more of the idea man. So thanks so much for talking to me.
Absolutely. We appreciate the invitation.
Yeah. So let's talk about this upcoming season. What are you guys excited about?
Alan, I'm going to let you lead off on this one.
Yeah, so we're hitting that exciting part of the season where I've been able to conduct most of our interviews for the summer crew position. Looks like there's going to be a really solid crew this year. I'm excited to get out there and be working with them. We're doing a few exciting projects. We're doing a connector trail in Crevasse Moraine to open up some areas and make it easier for many user groups, but specifically some of the equestrians. Equestrian user requested this. We're doing a fun project connecting the library in Talkeetna to a bike path to make it safe for people to cross the spur road. We're doing, obviously, all of our windstorms this winter means we're going to be doing a lot of saw work this spring once everybody comes on and get trained. And it's going to be a very busy summer. We're also working to redo all the wayfinding signage and the green belt. That's a project working on with the trails and parks, state parks, UA lands, and some other landowners in the area. So we're excited about that too.
Yeah, Taylor was telling us about that. So people who are listening to this will have heard a little bit about that as well. Tell me a little bit more about this cut-through trail in Crevasse. Is that because I know the borough has trails in Crevasse that are official trails, and then we have trails in Crevasse that exist but are not officially maintained. Is this one of those, or is this an entirely new trail?
This is one part of the Trails End. We're calling it right now the Pond Trail. It's below the fence line there by the dump. Obviously, the landfill, you know, occasionally changes where their boundaries are, where their fencing are, or they're doing that new entrance this year. And we're just trying to give an alternative to get away from the you know, razor wire fence along the, you know, with the nice view of the landfill and get an area. So part of the trail used to be a road down to the pond there. We're going to be pushing it through and connecting into another trail. So we're just trying to, again, open up some new area and get away from as close to our neighbors there to the north.
Yeah. Okay. So for those who don't know, who are maybe listening to this, Crevasse is technically part of the landfill, right? It's a sort of like a secret, almost secret fun fact. Can you just tell us, like, just give us some information about that for those who don't know?
Yeah, I mean, basically the most of the area now of the Greenbelt's a bigger area. So we're just talking about the Crevasse Moraine portion of it. And that area was set aside for a future landfill expansion. And a lot of years before my time, they decided that since the land was there not being used, that'd be a good place for trails. And so all that is set aside. Fortunately, I think we're a long ways from having to now cut into the current area. The more people recycle and, you know, cut down on their consumer waste and things, the longer we can go without having to cut into it. But yeah, the trails in Crevasse are right now holding point for future expansion, but we're not anticipating anything in the near future on that. But I'm still trying to get that little bit of a buffer. And then speaking quickly to those types of trails out there, yeah, we have our official trails. This is area-wide, not just a Crevasse, but there's always sometimes people put trails in that they would like to see. A lot of times those aren't built to our sustainable trails guidelines. They can actually have a negative impact on our existing trails that we maintain. So we do what we can to you know, identify those and work on those as, you know, as appropriate or to close them down. But this will be an official authorized trail. It's already on our new maps. We're getting ready to print, and we're excited to get it in there.
Very exciting. Hugh, how have you seen usage change over the last couple of years out here in Mat-Su with our parks? Are we seeing more and more people? Is it holding steady? What's going on?
Sure. So almost across the board, usage has increased exponentially in the tenure that Alan and I have been here. And that has a lot to say about the efforts that, you know, the assembly gives us, the financing to fund the trail crew, to fund the parks crew, to make sure our facilities are in great shape from the administration on down. And then the general public also learns about these facilities and gets the opportunity. You know, they see it on social media, they say, hey, and then we've been pumping our social media presence a bunch. I don't know if you follow our rec services Facebook page, but we've done the Wells Wilbur, the Wolverine writ, real interesting tidbit, where we give away a trail pass if you can tell us where Wilbur is, and that's got a lot of engagement. And so it increases the usage that we have throughout the different parks and trails. Last year, for example, we nearly doubled the number of people that visited Mat River Park, which was a huge increase over the course of 1 year. We brought Sunshine Creek online up in the northern part of the valley. That's a campground up there. We're just seeing just this massive influx of not just, I mean, I think our numbers are still about 40% valley people and 60% not valley people visiting us, but we still are seeing that increase across the board and at all the facilities. Where Alan and I work at Jim Creek, at the Jim Creek area, the numbers of people we see out here, even at 25 below, you know, it's stunning how many people come out here.
Yeah, and you can find that Facebook page at Mat-Su Borough Recreation and Library Services. If you just search that on Facebook, you can find that Facebook page and see that feature that you were just talking about. You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz, and I am here with Hugh Leslie and Alan McLean from the Mat-Su Borough, and they're talking to me about trails and upgrades and maintenance and all of that good stuff. After this break, we will continue our conversation.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime, wherever you get your podcasts, or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz, and I am here with Mattsu Borough Outdoor Recreation Manager Hugh Leslie and Alan McLean, who works for the borough as a trail specialist. Hugh, one thing we've talked about on Outdoor Explorer before, you and I, in a past episode, is the Lion's Head area that's up in towards Glacier View. Well, it's in Glacier View. It is a borough trail, sort of, but it's mostly a social trail, aka one of these ones that Alan was just talking about, where people have made their own way. It's popular because it's right off of the Glen Highway, and because going up Lion's Head, this sort of lumpy feature there, if you've driven by it and don't know what it is, going up that gives this just jaw-dropping view of the Matanuska Glacier in a way that you just, I mean, honestly, I've been up there several times. You cannot see that anywhere else. But it also offers some challenges from a trail maintenance and policing the popularity of that. And by that, I mean, of course, like maintaining the trail and keep making sure that people aren't overusing the area or hurting it in their use. So can you talk to me about the borough's efforts to bring that into your network of trails and offer some maintenance there and where we are with that?
Sure. Lion's Head is a super iconic feature here in the valley. Everybody's seen it if they've come in or out of Palmer. The issues there are who owns the land and who has access to the land. And we have been working, on the land management side of community development to acquire the parcel between the highway and the state land. AT&T is the landowner right now. And we've been working on a subdivision, and not subdivision in the terms that you think of. Alaska subdivision is just basically subdividing the parcel. Okay.
There will be no homes built in this property.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's one of the stretches, right? When you come up from the lower 48, somebody mentions subdivision, you picture, you know, equestrian street. No, it's a division of the property so that we will have legal public access to Lion's Head. And we've been working on that for a number of years with the Glacier View Community Council, with AT&T, with the land management folks. You know, it's a view of the glacier, and it's been moving at glacial speed to get that land acquired. But what I hope is the next, you know, year or so, we have a legal access for the public to get through there. One of the things that we also have to be concerned with is if we build it, they will come. And like you said, the usage of trails and parks here has come up exponentially. We need to be concerned about things like parking. We need to be concerned with things like restroom facilities. And then I know that there is a laid out trail up there that we have access to. And then it would be scheduling the time to put that trail in. If the public can be patient over the course of just the next little bit, they will have a wonderful trail experience within the next couple years up there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if you build it, they will come. They're already there at that one. Mm-hmm. I know that's part of the concern. Like I said, I myself have been up there a few times, and there are no bathroom facilities anywhere near there, honestly. No. You're going down the high, you know, south to from Palmer a little bit. Maybe like 5 miles, I'm thinking, to use a state campground facility. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in the bathroom, or you're going north quite a bit, you're making a pit stop at one of the lodges there, or you're heading out of, way out of Glacier View, there's another state facility kind of on the side of the road. That's, I'm going to describe it as less than ideal.
Yes.
In fact, in my memory, there were no doors. Let's start there. But, you know, that creates a situation, right? Because then people are using the bushes. Maybe they're not practicing good trailside bathroom behavior. But then on the flip side, if the borough has a facility there, now you have to maintain it.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want to divulge into human waste this early in the morning, but that is one of the things that we have to be cognizant of. You don't want to create a public health hazard by creating an attraction. And as part of the conversations we've had here is, okay, before we open the gate, let's make sure we've got a way to control this, because people will go to the restroom whether there's one there or not. And we need to be cognizant of that. And then, you know, there's always the opportunity to put in portable facilities up there. But then does that become a waypoint for people? And so we're working through the logistics of that. And the goal would be eventually to have a permanent restroom structure up there that supports the facility and not necessarily is supportive of the traffic on the Glen.
Well, Hugh and Alan, thank you so much for speaking with me today on Outdoor Explorer. I sure appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having us.
An overview of what's happening with parks and trails in Mat-Su would not be complete without really talking about Hatcher Pass. So let's take a trip up to the Ski Talk downhill ski area to chat with their general manager, Megan Justice, and hear what's going on for them after the snow melts for the year. Megan Justice, thank you for joining us on Outdoor Explorer.
Thank you for having me.
We are up here with you at Ski Talk on location in yes. Hatcher Pass.
Yes.
And it is the winter right now.
It is winter, but it is sunny, so we are tricking our minds.
When people hear this, it will be not winter, I hope, because it will be May.
Ooh, nice.
So
happy breakup season, happy, everybody.
Well, post-breakup. I mean, post-breakup. Let's pray, right?
Right.
But right now, you have how many feet of snow on the ground here at Ski Talk?
Ooh, several feet of snow. Most of it is man-made, but yes.
Yeah, and that's new this year.
That is new this year.
So tell me a little bit about that. Let's just tell me a little bit about Ski Talk, and then we're going to talk about the future. We're going to talk about summer plans up here, but
yeah.
Just kind of give me some information about Ski Talk.
Yeah, like. This has been a pretty significant year in Ski Talk's history. Last summer, we did around $4 million of capital investments, which meant that we've just spent the last 6 months sleeping since summer happened. But we were able to install a new access road, which was amazing. We've been able to get school buses up here with kids from local schools. We've been able to install a surface lift, which has made our learning area so much better. And then snowmaking, like we were just talking about, we put in a $2.5 million snowmaking system on the lower mountain, which has just completely transformed the way that the mountain flows, and then just our ability to provide a consistent product to our customers, open on time, stay open late, all of those things.
And really I great. Have been a beneficiary of your snowmaking.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Because we are season pass holders, and boy, was last year a bummer.
Last year was a big bummer. I think you threw a rock at me at one point.
I definitely thought about it. I think I handed you a rock. Okay, that's not quite the same. But I do believe that yes. a version of that event
yes,
did happen.
Yes, yes,
yes. Yes, because the thing was, in my defense, they were rocks that I had seen earlier in the season before snowfall.
Right.
And it seemed particularly rude that I was seeing them in like January. Still.
That is rude.
Not your fault. Not your fault.
Nope. But we handled the situation for you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Just for me. Awesome. Okay. So Ski Talk is a winter, you know, you've got ski slopes, downhill ski area, mm-hmm. but you also have plans for the summer.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about what you do right now for summer summer recreation up here.
Yeah. So like you said, like we are primarily a winter alpine recreation area, but we do exist in the summer and Hatcher is increasingly popular in the summer. And so we try our best to provide services in the summer. It's kind of one of those unique things where because we're winter, because we're developing, because we have all these big plans, pretty much every summer we turn into a construction zone. It's very muddy. There's lots of heavy equipment, all of the things. But in between all of that, we do our best to still provide and meet our mission, which is outdoor recreation, as best we can. So what we have is we have a few trails that are here on the lower mountain. I believe you pounded out several miles on one of them doing a race. But so we have a couple trails on the lower mountain. I think it's like 3 miles total. And then we have some alpine trails, which are truly amazing. So we have trails that go up Frostbite, and then this upcoming summer, we actually have a partnership with the Student Conservation Association, They will be on site for 6 weeks, cutting a trail from basically the top of our existing trail, which we call Dahlia, to the north, and it'll go up 4068. And so there will be an entire alpine loop from, I'll just run it around, Ski Talk, Frostbite, Gove Peak, over to Halibut Tail, which is this winter name for the summit, kind of towards April Bowl, 4068, and then down back to Ski Talk, which is a rad ring, and I recommend everybody go out and hike it. It's super cool.
And how many miles is that?
That is about a little over 7 miles.
And when will that be done for me to use?
For you to use personally.
Yeah, well, perfect. Selfish little right. question.
So we actually did the route last year because we had to get it like mapped out. And so we did a few, it's like a little bit of bushwhacking on 4068. So like if you're ambitious, you can do it right now. But I don't know the exact date the SCA will be here, but they will be working this summer. And like I said, it'll be 6 weeks. So I would imagine they'll start early summer, and then within 6 weeks have it knocked out and that whole ring will be in.
That's amazing. I think the thing that I tend to forget, and I'm assuming others too tend to forget, is that when you put in a new trail, it takes a little bit for it to get nice.
Yes.
Like it's not, you know, the bushes may be cut, the trail may be set, but that sucker's squishy. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to use because it's not packed down.
Yeah.
It takes some foot traffic and users over time.
Yeah, it really does. And I think for us, like, so we had we wanted to get people onto the alpine, like up onto the ridges. We knew that that was like, okay, these lower mountain trails, these 3 miles of loops, like these are nice and they're great for like a day hike or if you got little kids or things like that. But we were like, Hatcher needs more summits because all the trailheads are just so congested. We have a 250 car parking lot. We have flush toilets at the base area. We have coffee. We have food. Like there's just no reason that people shouldn't be here, but like we know what they want. They want summits. And so we cut in the trail last summer, just literally by hand, like 3 or 4 of us on staff went up with like bushwhackers and just cut in from like the top of Dahlia, which already exists, all the way up to Frostbite. We announced it on social media. I really, really like didn't, it wasn't like this big plan, like, okay, we're going to drop this thing. It was like, yeah, just put it out there and see what people, it was our most target. It is one of our most targeted posts, like at all that Ski Talk has ever released, like the most amount of engagement. And within 1 weekend, that entire trail was compacted. We had so many people out there using it. It was wild.
Yeah, because I get the sense like people want to be in the backcountry. They want to come experience Hatcher Pass. But at the same time, it's scary.
It's a bloodbath to get trailhead parking these days.
Yeah, and then it's also scary to do something that's truly backcountry that has no trail.
Right.
Because like, where am I? What if I get lost? Just sort of all of those barriers that if you're not a super adventurous backcountry user, you're kind of that normal, dare I say, like mid-level person, you know, sort of where I sit. Like, I want to get out there, but I don't want to do something that has never been done. That's not me.
Yeah, yeah.
I require like several people going, not dying, coming back, report. And then like, cool, now I'll go. I'm not an early adopter.
Yeah.
But I think that that's so many users, especially folks who may not be super comfortable with outdoor recreation or going far. They want to know that there is a parking lot. There is bathrooms. There is a snack shack.
Yeah.
And those things are all open here during the summer.
They are. Yeah. So we'll be running them on weekends this year. Last year we did them like Friday, Saturdays, cause our partner wasn't able to do the full weekend, but we just really like pushed our new partners like, hey, we need to be open on the weekends. Cause that's when the highest number of users are. And so our parking lot will remain open 7 days a week, barring any like significant construction risks or hazards. But then the yurt and the food truck will be open on the weekends.
And what about the bathrooms?
Weekends? Bathrooms are open always.
Always. Yeah. That's awesome.
I need to put a jar in there that's like, we clean these for you.
Yeah, totally. Well, because it's such an amenity too. Yeah. Like people want to know that they've got those, I mean, dare I say comfort items, right? Yep. Especially again, if you're not used to spending a lot of time outside, like you don't want to go in the bushes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for us too, like we're so aware, I talk about it all the time, of like how much money our community has put into this gear. Like we would not be here. We would not exist if the community wasn't behind us, supporting us, investing in us. And so like those bathrooms specifically were like a Matsuburo allocation 2 or 3 years ago for the Arctic Winter Games. And it's like, I mean, they do belong to us, but it's like the borough paid for these, like the taxpayers paid for these, like they belong to the taxpayers, like open it up, keep it clean, let them use it as much as we can. So
totally.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz, and I'm here with Megan Justice. We are sitting at Ski Talk on a winter day, even though you are probably listening to this in the summer. So talk to me a little bit about what else is going on here this summer. I understand you have a new ski race that's happening.
Yes.
Mountain Ski Race. That's a big deal for Alaska. That's the first one here in at least a long time.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with the history, so I don't want to speak out of turn for sky running specifically. But I do know for this summer, it is one of four certified sky running races in the U.S. and the only one in Alaska, which is really impactful. But yeah, that one's insane. It's many Ks. It's like 37 Ks of like Ski Talk to Gov Peak to Marmot to Microdot to everywhere and then back to Ski Talk. So it's going to be a fun race.
Is it using your new trail loop?
Mm-hmm.
What is that trail loop called?
We have not named it yet. And truly, I don't know that we can because it doesn't fully belong to us. So it'll be part of Ski Talk, but
occupied
then
by force.
Just right. Name it. Just come out swinging.
I mean, things have been named in that way since the beginning of time.
Right. I mean, it goes over Seldensine, you know, and the Valley of Sin is what it's called in the winter. So there's some options on the table.
All right. If you don't name it, I might try.
Go for it.
So we'll see if we can get like a popularity contest going on. You also have a couple of other races up here. You alluded to one earlier that I personally have done, which is the Death by a Mile,
yes.
which is like a mile and a half.
Yeah.
And that's a loop race in October.
Yes.
It's not really the summer.
Somewhere around Halloween.
Yeah. Not the summer. Not the summer anymore. Certify. And then you have a Skimo race you've just done up here or is coming
up. We're getting ready to do it. So our end of season event, which will have already happened by the time the listeners hear this. So sorry if you didn't make it, come out next year. But we do our end of season event. It's called Hatcherpalooza. And this year we'll be doing a Skimo race, which is super fun. It's like 2.5 miles and around 2,500 feet of elevation. So they'll go straight up, straight back down. We'll do a slope style event. We'll do, you know, food truck, beer garden,
nice,
all those things, bands.
And you also have, I mean, we're talking about summer trails in this episode, but you also have summer concerts. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on up here.
Yeah, we really try to like build out our summer schedule as best we can. Like I said, construction and development is our priority, but we try to fit all the things in around it. So in June, we partner with the Valley Community Recycling Center. Their name always trips me up. They do their annual fundraiser, which is Recycle Revival. It's always a great time. I learn all kinds of things about recycling that the managers wish I already knew. And then in July, we have Hatcher Romp, which is hosted by Blackwater Railroads. It's like a two-day music festival that they do. It's super fun, really awesome.
Yeah, so you can come here, you can hike, you can listen to music, you can hike some more, listen to more music.
Yeah, exactly. And we usually spin the lift for those events too, which for our non-skiing folks, it's like it spins slower and they get to ride it, which is really fun, and then walk down. So
no riding down still?
Still no riding down. Weight limits don't allow it. Someday. The next lift. Next lift you can download.
Okay. So tell us about that. Because you're putting in, I envision as a gondola.
Yes. Yeah. So lift two is the most demanded item in all of my time working here. You know, I always make the joke, if I had a dollar for every time someone asked, I'd have it funded. But lift two is a mile long lift that's going to access 500 acres of terrain of our 1100 acre ski area. It's going to be the main artery that feeds the rest of the ski area. It's a really important lift. And most importantly, and what I think people really need to lock in is like when this area was envisioned as a ski area, like back in the 80s, and they wrote the plans and everything, what we're talking about as lift two today was originally planned as lift one. And so we're finally actually going to be able to give the people what they've always wanted. So our board has decided to do a detachable gondola for the lift two installation. The reason for that being is we want to maximize on summer, which is what we're talking about today, and winter revenue, so that we can keep our pass prices low for our winter users. So let our visitors pay some of the debt service, most of the debt service, and then keep our pass prices low for our winter users. If everything goes according to plan, that lift will be in place in December of 2027, which is a very optimistic timeline, but we're charging ahead for it.
It's so soon.
It's very soon. It's too soon.
Yeah.
It's not too soon.
It's not too soon.
It's 40 years in the making, but it feels, feels
like
soon
tomorrow.
To me. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the age I am right now, that 2027, like December 2027 feels like tomorrow.
Yes.
But here we are. We won't comment on that.
Yeah.
It is.
is, because it is a gondola, they are enclosed cars, right? Yes. So rain, sleet, snow.
Yeah. Nothing can keep you from getting up there. The elements won't bother you, which is a big thing for summer too. I think I'm sure we'll talk about it, but where that gondola will unload will not only access our trail infrastructure that we were just talking about, the 406 and Frostbite trails, but it'll also impact or unload right at the GPRA traverse. And so for us, it's like, this is such a great tool to get people who maybe don't want to earn it to the level that some of us who love to hike do, but still want to get into the mountains and still want to pursue that outdoor recreation. They can pull in, take a gondola ride up, 5 minutes, they're in the alpine, and then they can walk around and just enjoy nature, see the views, all those things too.
So tell us about the GPR Traverse.
Yeah, again, not my project, but I just sit around and get to champion other people. But the GPRA Traverse is a trail. I do not know how long it is, but it is envisioned from Government Peak all the way over to 16 Mile, and it's going to bisect Skeetock laterally, just kind of cut our lease area in half. It's ultimately envisioned to accompany the Long Trail, which is a trail from Seward to Fairbanks, which sounds rad. On par with like the AT or the PCT. But the GPRA Traverse is kind of its own little project within a project. The borough and Mass Trails and Parks Foundation and us and Alaska Trails and many other entities have been championing this project for quite some time. And there seems to be a significant amount of traction on it moving forward from the borough side, and then pursuing other funding to actually get it constructed. From our standpoint, once they get it, fully funded, we'll start at Skeetock and work north and south. And we're really excited to see that trail go in because, as we've said many times, Hatcher is oversaturated or loved to death, as I'm sure Taylor probably alluded earlier in this episode, because that's her phrase that she uses. And so having that GPRA Traverse from Skeetock, again, what we were just talking about, 250 car lot, flush toilets at the bottom, basic amenities like that, bringing people here to access Skeetock, access Government Peak to the south, 16 Mile to the north, Frostbite to the south, 4068 to the north, the Pole Ring, that just like diversifies people and decongests Hatcher as much as we can possibly assist with, which is just good for everybody. We go to nature to be with nature, not to be with all the people we see at Fred Meyer.
Right.
So,
well, to see all the people in Fred Meyer, also in nature sometimes, but which kind of brings me to the thing I was just thinking, which is like, there's a tension there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hatcher's loved to death, but we also go here to be away from all the people. From
right.
I love to go up from April Bowl to do my own version of a different Government Peak traverse, right?
Right.
Or go from Government Peak to April Bowl.
Yeah.
Preferably vice versa, because you lose elevation. There's that race in August, the Veins of Gold that goes from Government Peak to April Bowl. And I think that's just bananas. Why would you gain elevation if you don't have to over time? But
anyway,
I love to do that. And one of the reasons I love that is because you get up there and you feel like the only person in all of creation.
Yeah.
Okay. However, creating accessibility for people brings in this tension where you're not, now you have a gondola to your favorite trail. So like when you think about that, I know you're a backcountry user, you love to be up here. There's Yumi and the guy driving the groomer right now, here right now.
Okay? Yeah, he almost ran like, over my office.
Yeah. If people heard us worrying earlier, that's what that was. Okay. So there's a real sense of like solitude up here in Hatcher Pass. And that's why people love it. But at the same time, that tension. So when you think about that for yourself, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, it's definitely a balancing act. And I think specifically, like I have a perspective, I'm a lifelong Alaskan, I'm born in Sitka, raised in Kodiak, and have seen beloved trails turn into, things that I wish that they hadn't turned into, and have just watched the dynamic of developing Alaska, where what we love about Alaska is that it's remote and that it's nature and that it's all these things. And then with more people and more development comes more infrastructure and kind of comes more control. And that's a bit of a bummer. And so as I lead this organization, and as I look forward to what all the things that we're doing, like the mindset that I kind of hold is like, it's developing with or without us. Like Fishhook is the fastest growing area in the Matsu Borough, which is the fastest growing area in the state. Like
development is happening with or without Ski Talk. Development is happening with or without these trails. And so as we look at that reality and then look at what we're tasked to do, which is create more outdoor recreation spaces, we want to develop them in the right way to meet what the people want, in a way that kind of supports what's already happening. And so when I think about it, like specifically with the trails that we're talking about, or specifically with the GPRA Traverse, or how all that ties together, like I really see a solution there, because it's not just, okay, now we're creating one trail that 1,000 people are going to use every Saturday morning. It's, we are connecting. I mean, we just said it, like you go up Ski Talk, you go Frostbite, Government, April, like there's so many offshoots from what we're connecting that we're creating opportunities for people to actually spread out. We're not just creating one trail that everyone's going to hike on and run into each other and then get annoyed. We are connecting networks within Hatcher at a much larger trailhead than exists anywhere else in Hatcher. Like our parking lot's larger than the Independence Mine lot. And so, yeah, again, meeting that development and understanding that it's already happening and then working along with it to create solutions, not necessarily like problems or barriers. And so, yeah, we'll get you up there, but then it's choose your own adventure from there. Like you can just keep right on going and we'll never see you again, drive a car around, pick yours up kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of see it as like creating networks and getting people out rather than like, okay, now we're just going to create one more over-congested area.
That's it for this episode of Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz. A huge thanks to my four guests, Taylor Raftery, Hugh Leslie, Alan McLean, and Megan Justice. And from all your hosts here at Outdoor Explorer, we'll see you outdoors.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of Alaska Public Media in Anchorage, Alaska. Tobin Shelby is its producer, and the program is edited by Ammon Swenson and Crystal Hyde. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed on the show are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can listen to Outdoor Explorer anytime at alaskapublic.org and in your favorite podcast app. If you have a question, comment, or a topic suggestion, email outdoorexplorer@alaskapublic.org.